hope that, and I encourage that, as the news from around the country seems to be worse, and as we approach the election, we hear rumors of things being dicey, and certainly unsettling. To me, it seems like we've taken something beautiful, like free elections, and turned it into something painful and difficult. What I'm hoping for, what I would pray for you, is that you are finding people of faith, resources of faith, to build you up in difficult times. This is to say nothing of those of you who may have suffered fires and storms. But we have an affirmation of faith that we express each time we gather together at Daleville Christian Church, this one from 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses in the sight of God. God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. The reading of God's word for today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in the vicinity and in the city of Rome. This in the 6th chapter, the first 11 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It is All Saints Sunday. All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day. Which has given us the day and name for Halloween. Halloween is the night before All Saints Day, or All Hallows Day, as in the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, holy. The saints are the holy ones, which most people think of as being dead. But the New Testament usually speaks of the saints as alive and present for good works. Saints are mentioned 60 times in the New Testament, in the King James Version. Or in other versions of the Bible, they are called the sanctified, those being sanctified, the Lord's people, holy people. Now, in the New Testament, the term saint or sainted or holy ones is not a level or a status anyone attains. Saint is a term of status you are given because of your faith in Jesus. The words holy and sanctified only literally mean set aside. If you have dishes you use only for holidays, you have holiday dishes, you have holy dishes, they are set aside for special use. God has set people aside for God's use. God has set people aside for God's purposes. You, the believers, you, the saints, God has set aside for his own purposes and uses. But in typical institutional fashion, the church applied the term saint to those who were dead. They probably did that because the saints in death had proven themselves and they had proven their faith. At first, the saints, the dead, were martyrs for Jesus, martyrs for Jesus' church. They professed their faith until death and through death, and many of them died because they claimed faith in Jesus. So church people began to think, saint equals dead person, a faithful dead person, a person who died for Jesus, but a dead person, a dead believer. So I will ask you, can you learn anything from the dead? Can you learn anything from the dead? The church has always said, yes, you and I can learn something from the dead. The book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verses 55 through 58, the death of Stephen, a deacon in the church of Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Verse 57, at this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone Stephen to death. Stephen became a martyr. Martyr, another word that comes to us in the same Greek. The Greek word martyr simply means witness. Stephen witnessed to his faith in Jesus, and Stephen's speech and Stephen's final words are recorded for everyone in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Stephen was a saint, and then being martyred, Stephen was called a saint. You've heard of him, Saint Stephen, right? I say never miss a chance to state the obvious. Even unbelievers and people of no faith in Jesus in America know a couple of saint names. Some of us remember when Valentine's Day was called Saint Valentine's Day. Now, there was more than one guy who was a believer, follower of Jesus, who was named Valentine, who died for his faith. They were all killed because they were Jesus' followers. Saint Patrick. He gets remembered not so much because of Patrick's death, but because he brought Christianity to Ireland, and the Irish were grateful and remembered Patrick's life. And almost everyone in America has been happy about Saint Nicholas, except a cousin of mine. My cousin blames St. Nicholas for my cousin spending a lot of money on his children. My cousin didn't like to do that. My cousin saw St. Nicholas as picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. So at least my cousin's children were grateful for St. Nicholas, even if my cousin wanted to be rid of St. Nicholas. So can we learn something from dead people? My cousin learned to be generous. He thought he was being generous to his children at least once a year on December 25th. Never mind that St. Nicholas's Day is December 6th, but really, you can blame the calendars and the fact that Nicholas has been remembered since the 4th century AD for the mix-up on when we start talking about St. Nicholas. Can we learn something from dead people? Yes. Yes, we can. But Americans are picky about what they want to learn from the dead, which is not usually how real learning takes place. Americans generally don't like history, so we don't study it unless we have to, so that Americans can't remember who fought who or when they fought or over what Americans fought through all the wars we've been in. And sometimes what we were taught was wrong anyway, and we still get it wrong rather than try to find out what happened and how we know what happened. Well, I know because I'm an historian. I've got books on my shelf that will tell you what we got wrong and sometimes why we got it wrong. So we can learn from dead people if we will listen to them or look at them. And the church people of Jesus have always believed that. The church people of Jesus have always believed that you can learn from dead people. At least church people can learn from faithful dead people. And that is one reason we have saints at all and why we remember even a few saint names and we have a few saint days on our calendars, although most Americans don't know who those saints are or how they got on the calendar. I think I can prove my point if you remember something about St. Patrick having to do with snakes. It's another one of those things we very likely got wrong, and what may be the only thing, only one thing, many remember about St. Patrick, something that never happened. But Americans do watch television programs about dead people. Sometimes those people are called living dead people, but sometimes they're actually dead characters in the program. The word vampire is a Serbian word that means back from the dead. Ghost Whisperer was a popular television program for 5 seasons, beginning in 2005. In the show, however, it's a living person who helps the dead people. Talk show host David Letterman panned the program, stating it was a program about running errands for dead people. David Letterman will be remembered when he dies. He already has a building named for him at Ball State University. At this time of year, ghost programs are popular. Ghost tours. I teach children local history. They've wanted to know if there are any local stories of ghosts or haunted places. The best I could do for them is tell them where there used to be a graveyard, and then I would let slip that we at least think we got all the bodies out of that old cemetery. And all of a sudden, history gets real interesting. The Travel Channel has turned into the Spook Channel, but they don't usually talk about ghosts. They talk about paranormal phenomena. Yeah, but I watch the Ghostbuster movies. We have films, toys, television shows, continued book sales about dead people that entertain us, or police shows. Criminal investigation, crime scene investigation, criminal archaeology. These days, only Christmas decorations continue to outsell Halloween decorations. So generally, Americans look to the dead people for entertainment. Which is kind of weird, isn't it? Not that my slate is clean. I've enjoyed all the Ghostbuster films. I watched Casper when I was a kid. Casper the Friendly Ghost. The dead have entertained me too, but I have also been in a church all my life. I attended Main Street Christian Church before I was born, in utero. So in that church, I heard hundreds, if not thousands, of references to dead people, faithful dead people. Dead followers of Jesus and what they taught those who were present in church that day. Those are the ones we usually call saints, even while technically we are all saints in Jesus. As an historian, I have known that America had another pandemic in 1918. I knew that this church, Daleville Christian Church, has been through epidemics, deadly epidemics. Unfortunately, the former pastors of this church, now deceased, and most pastors of 100 years ago when the flu pandemic cut across the world, all deceased, did not leave any sermons that are easy to find about living through a pandemic with faith. Even with the internet, they're hard to find. So I haven't found many Bible insights yet from 100 years ago. What I have learned from 100 years ago is that we're all going through pretty much what they did, just like this, 100 years ago. But with social media, we get to share everyone's fear and everyone's lack of concern and everyone's protests and everyone's do-nothing attitudes 24/7 from every corner of the U.S. and the globe. So the dead might have wanted to help us in this pandemic, but apparently we think we know better. But that in itself is a lesson we could have learned from all the wars and battles we fought in our history. Lesson number one, usually in a battle or a war, never underestimate your enemy. Never underestimate your enemy. It's a lesson from history. Don't underestimate the pandemic. I heard this week of people now infected with COVID-19 who apparently decided to underestimate the pandemic. Friends, remember, you care about something. This virus does not care about anything. I have read stories from survivors. I've read from those who didn't survive, most of them saying, don't underestimate the enemy. Don't underestimate this virus. Or words to that effect. I haven't really heard very many survivors say, oh, it was nothing. Or do I just read the wrong news sources? But this really isn't a sermon about the pandemic. It's about the living and the dead. Because this is a message about the saints. The saints living and dead. This is for you, the living. American Christianity has unfortunately tended to make religion about death. Evangelists ask, what will happen to you when you die? Where will you go when you die? It's a good question. However, most of us are concerned about today, how things are going today. Are they going good? How about our relationships? All good? Our health? Your loved one's health? Is the world messed up? Is it not messed up? How are you getting through the mess? We're more concerned about living than dying. I believe the faith in Jesus has much more to say about living. And so did the Apostle Paul. Just offhand, I don't recall Paul telling people where they will go when they die. He mentions heaven to the Corinthians in his second letter. He talks about being with Jesus in death. Paul doesn't mention hell at all. And Paul's not recorded talking to pagans about hell. So why would evangelists focus on what happens when we die? At all the funerals I lead, I say that our God is a God of the living. Our God is not a God of the dead because those who are dead in Christ are still alive. Those who have died in Christ will live forever. Forever with God who made them and loves them forever. Most faithful people I know want to know how their recently deceased church members got through this mess that the world is in. And if the faithful have been watching the saints, they will have an idea as to how they got through this mess of a world. They got through this mess of a world with Jesus. They get through this mess by faith. Faith in Jesus, faith in God's word, prayer, asking for help from other believers, confessing their sins, making amends, seeking to do good, loving their neighbor, even when their neighbor isn't very lovable. You can trust God in death, and you can trust God in life. Jesus only said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus didn't say that Jesus would get you out of this mess of a world. Jesus said he would go through your mess with you, guide you, direct you, find you some helpers, never leave you, always love you. The apostle wrote near the end of his life, "I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." As some of you know, life is not a sprint, it's a marathon, especially for those in Christ Jesus our Lord. The apostle knew that too. You see, God's word is very clear about the reality of death. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes has these words for us, words that tell us that death is a part of life, as are tears and sorrow, all a part of God's plan. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. The Apostle Paul knew those scriptures from God's word. But knowing that death is a part of God's plan for life doesn't mean we're happy when death comes. We're not happy when death comes around to us or our loved ones. Those who read and believe the Bible see that Jesus at his death was abused and taunted while being crucified. But even though we claim Jesus was God, Jesus didn't cash out at the moment of death. Jesus died on the cross, saying, "Heavenly Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus also forgave his tormentors. Then the followers of Jesus claim that Jesus arose from the tomb that his body was put in. So we claim that our God knows about life and God knows about death. For God has made us more than bodies that live and die. God gave us souls. The body is only going to live on earth a while. But God has designed our souls to live with God forever. I just remind you that if you want to live with God forever in death, you will need to want to do that. Why? Because this is all I know. Jesus called the disciples, "Follow me." Jesus is recorded as saying, "Follow me." John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You get to decide whether to follow Jesus or not. John 12:26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." The Apostle Paul put it this way: if you're in Jesus, and especially if you remember your baptism, that was a preview of death. You were buried. You are dead to disobeying God. Disobeying God will happen after you are baptized, but that only shows how chronic the problem is. It also shows us the power of habits. But you want to serve the Lord after baptism. The person who wanted to serve himself or sinful self, that person died in baptism. And when you came up out of the water of baptism, you were a new person, a new way to be you. Not focused on you, but focused on God. A new way to be human. And as one professor explained, the Apostle Paul, that's when you began to become immortal. You're not yet, but eternal life for you began that day you decided to follow Jesus. When you die, you'll be fully prepared to take on the eternal, immortal life. I don't know if you've ever really thought about where you're going to go when you die. But I'm sure that you have thought about how you're going to get through this life. And the answer to that is Jesus' words, "Follow me." Believe in God, believe also in me. Have faith in God, have faith in Jesus. All of the saints did have faith in Jesus. That is what the dead in Christ taught the church. The dead in Christ teach the church how to live in Christ. Amen.